Blog Talk Radio.
I Udubilahim and Shaitan Rajin. I seek protection with Allah from Shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. I greet you, dear beloved IWDM listeners, with the Muslim greeting of peace, understanding that real and true peace comes only from God, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that having and knowing that peace obligates the recipient to be one that gives that kind of peace. And that wonderful greeting and prayer is simply, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, featuring your host, Mark Shaheed and Quran Shakir. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. This is a learning lab, and we hope you are in the learning mode. If so, we ask you to please grab a pen and pad and journey with us to explore, examine, and dialogue about the beauty, the value, and practical approaches to making marriage a blessed joy. And while we are making our introductions and opening announcements, we ask you to please share the joy of this program by letting your family and your friends know that you are listening to IWDM, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. To do that, all that you need to do is send a text or make a post and invite them to join you at 714-816-4673. And now, dear listeners, without further ado, it is my pleasure to present to you my esteemed co-host, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation. I am Mark Shaheem, the host, facilitator, producer, along with Quran Shakir of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio. And for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, Quran and I want you to know that this is your learning lab. So we do invite you to ask questions, to make comments on anything that it is that we may give tonight on the Learning Lab on the 25 Do's and Don'ts of Islamic Courtship, or you may have a question from the previous episode or anything that is pertaining to courtship and marriage. We do invite you to ask questions, and you can do that by pressing 1 on your dial, and Quran will notify me that you have your hands up. Also, those who may just listen in each and every week and absorb all the great information and education that we're giving on the 25 Do's and Don'ts of Islamic Courtship, we do invite you to press 1 to give us the greetings. And if the information is resonating with you, we would love to hear from you too. Those of you who may be listening in by way of the Internet, as many of you perhaps are, we invite you to call in to the studio if you'd like to be a participant, and we would love for you to be a participant. The call-in number is 714-816-4673. Once again, the call-in number to the studio, IWDM Radio, if you have a question or comment, or you just want to call in to let us know that how much you appreciate this production, you have to dial 714-816-4673. As Karan has already told you, this is an excellent opportunity to contact family members, friends, associates, neighbors, community members, to let them know the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is on. Our theme here on IWDM Radio, this is a family affair. So call your immediate family and call your extended family also and share with them what you have been benefiting from. And also, we want you to know that you can contact us so many different ways outside of IWDM Radio. Bring it to the lab at gmail.com. You can email us there. Any questions or comments that you like to make off air, or you might want to make some recommendations or futuristic topics that you like Karan and I to take on, we do and will appreciate that. Also Instagram, and like us on Facebook, Bring It to the Lab, and you can post there. And I know Karan also do some posting there also. We want you also to know that here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, we have established some staples as we use as the foundation or as the source for much of the information, and where we try to respond as best as we can with Al-Quran, the life example of the Prophet in the demonstration of the Quran, and also the tafsir, which simply means clear explanation by our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, on the Quran and the life example of the Prophet. And so we've been using this document, the 25 Do's and Don'ts of Islamic Courtship, for a few weeks now. And a lot of great information has been disseminated over the weeks. We've had special guest facilitators on and given their insight. And tonight it'll be Karan, Shakira, and myself doing this. And I think, inshallah, we'll have another special guest facilitator. I won't just say yet, but it'll be a surprise guest facilitator. So you have to tune in to see who that person actually will be. I also want to say to us that we're embarking upon Ramadan in about approximately 2 weeks from now. And so we still will have a presence, but the time will change. We'll give that information at the close of this production, and also the topic will change. It'll be reduced to an hour, but we will center both of the learning labs, the Courtship and Marriage and the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, around Ramadan. So I think you'll find it to be very interesting and very informative. So as always, those of you listening for the first time, we always do a recap of the previous episode here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab to kind of bring you up to snuff as to where we actually are. And Karan will also alert you how you can actually go online and have access to the 25 Do's and Don'ts of Islamic Courtship as you follow along with us. So with that being said, Karan, back to you. And it's good to hear your voice as always here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. And again, dear listeners, it's always good to have you with us. So last week, alhamdulillah, we had with us a guest facilitator, Imam Nazim Baksha, and we shared and discussed 4 of the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. If you would like to hear about the first 11 of those, then we invite you to visit our social media pages. That will be on Facebook and on Instagram to find the link to go back and listen to the previous program. And so on Facebook and Instagram, as Brother Mark said, it is Bring It to the Lab. If you go to Bring It to the Lab, like us and follow us, but also look at our posts, then you'll find the link to our previous program. So in addition to sharing the 25 do's and don'ts of last week, then we, like I said, we had Imam Nazim Baksha, who offered some wonderful contributions to what we were talking about. So the 4 of the 25 do's and don'ts that we discussed last week were, number one, it was the 12th one, which was do plan around your stressful day. And that was very important for us just to be mindful that when you are in a courtship, and we like to remind you that we stress the importance of courtship over dating, because with a courtship, we know that there is a destiny to this. There's a end game to it, so to speak, and that end game is the beginning of a new life together as husband and wife, or the beginning of a new life where you're on that search again for your mate. So you look at this and you are in this process of courtship and you're looking to understand whether or not those questions and things that you form in this search for a mate, this person matches what you are looking for. So in this courtship, then we say plan around your stressful days. So if an opportunity arises and you need to talk with someone, but you plan an outing with someone and you've had a stressful day, don't go with them that day because that could be stressful on the whole opportunity that you have to get to know one another. And so we looked at this whole idea that you are making your first impressions with these engagements. So you want to make sure that you're making the best impressions and not necessarily leaving the stress on them, but really getting to know them. So we recommended that you reschedule if you've had a stressful day. And then the 13th thing that we looked at was don't go overboard on selling yourself. And, yeah, you are selling yourself because that's a part of that expressions that you are making. You are expressing yourself, and we say in dating you're trying to impress. But in this courtship, you're trying to express yourself so that they can understand you. But don't go overboard with selling yourself. In our religion, we're taught also to not try to bargain for a position. And that's what you'll be doing if you're just talking. So what you really want to do is to do more listening than talking. So you don't want to necessarily talk too much about yourself, but you do want to, if asked a question, tell the truth, be honest, tell the truth, and don't go all into everything. But share enough information such that the person will get to know you, but it's not like you're putting a lot of icing on yourself and putting a bow on yourself to impress them. So you want to do ask more questions than doing more talking. Do more attentive listening than just talking about yourself. The 14th thing that we discussed was to be your authentic self, and that's so important. Sometimes we try to impress by giving the person what we think they want. So, and that's usually, you know, in the beginning of a courtship, we do that. But really what you want to do is to be yourself. Be your authentic self. Be transparent during this courtship process. That's very important, especially if your intentions are to find a mate. And eventually everything is going to come to light. So be your authentic self. Let them see who you really are, what matters to you, and don't try to change yourself to be what they want. We also talked about the fact that if you feel like you've got to be a particular way to be accepted or to keep their anger down or to keep their disappointment down or to keep their judgment down, that's an indicator that that's not the one for you. And so you want to use that as a gauge. In fact, I just had someone just this week to ask me about a situation that was very similar to this very thing about being your authentic self. And when you cannot be your authentic self, you have to try to be someone else for somebody, step away. And then the 15th thing that we said is don't talk about your past relationships or experiences. It doesn't mean you don't tell the truth about those relationships, but you don't need to go in and disclose all your secrets, all your business from those relationships. There should be something that's guarded and protected that happened inside of those relationships. At the same time, they do need to understand who you are. What did you learn from that relationship, and what was your contribution to the relationship, especially if that relationship ended in divorce or something of that nature. But if you have been in a relationship before, then what you want to do is to cover your brother and your sister's faults and don't bring forward the pain from the relationship in a bitter way. You just want to tell them what happened in that. And I think that was a great discussion that we had when we talked about that 15th do's and don'ts of this, and that was one of the don'ts, was don't talk about your past relationships. And Mark, those are the four that I wanted to share, and I'm going to toss it back to you and say to our listening audience, you can be a part of this. If you have questions or comments, feel free to get involved in our conversation as well.
Yes, alhamdulillah. That means the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. Once again, Quran Shakir, excellent recap of some of the highlights. What was information was disseminated last week, and as Quran said, you can go back into the archives and retrieve that production in its entirety. And we would recommend that you actually do that. That you can get all of the information. I just wanted to say, make an addendum to when it said in the 25 do's and don'ts in terms of be your authentic self by way of the Quran. And Allah, as He gives the Quran, it is true scripture that gives us a true picture as to who Allah created us to be. We have to understand that what usually we present is our socialized and acculturated self. This is noteworthy, so I'm asking those who are listening in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab to please take that down, because this is very important, what I'm about to say, because oftentimes our socialized and acculturated self may be as far from the authentic self, the true self. You know, those of us that were in the Nation of Islam, there was a catechism. Oftentimes questions would be asked to us. And one of the questions was asked to us in the Nation of Islam, and also Imam Muhammad gave commentary on it. I want to share that with you. The question was asked, who is yourself? That question was asked to us under the leadership of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Who is yourself? The answer was not the original. The original man is the Asiatic black man, maker, owner, cream of the planet Earth, a father of civilization, a god of the universe. No, we're not that. The answer is that our true self is being a righteous Muslim. Now, why is this very, very important? Because Almighty God, Allah, creates the human being, and He creates us in truth and in decency and in innocence. The original nature, you won't find a baby, you know, that's deviating from that original nature. It is only after we grow up a little bit and recognize that we have a free will, and also the influences that are in the environment, our parents and parenting, and our environment. What environment? Social environment. They began to make impressions upon us. And oftentimes they affect us in terms of shaping and forming our personalities. And when you see a word such as personality, the insanality is a play on the word reality, the reality of the person. But we cannot be manipulated in that regard, because if we are conscious Muslims, so we're mu'min, as believers, we know that Allah has created everything, including His human creation. And He has created us with an aim and a purpose as to who we are. In terms of our true identity, this is very, very important. So what is it that you're trying to say, Mark Shaheed? What I'm saying to all of us, including myself and all of us, is that we should be striving each and every day, not just during the month of Ramadan, but each and every day to try to reach the gauge, which the Quran is a gauge for us in terms of who our true self is in terms of identity, to really truly be a mu'min. Yeah, you know, this is very important, because oftentimes we present ourselves as we have been socialized, but oftentimes our socialization, acculturation, is not in accord with what it is Allah has created us to be. And this is so very important that we be in touch with this. And I pray Allah that as we are reading the, as we are fasting in the month of Ramadan, while feasting on the Quran, that we really pay close attention to the instructing signs, the ayats in the Quran, as Allah will communicate to us what it is that He has created. And then individually, we want to see how close we are to that and how much more striving that we have to do to be in the best of mold that Allah has created. It's more I could say about that. But that's our authentic self from an Islamic perspective. It is the self that Allah has created. And when we look at the Prophet Muhammad, even in his surah, even all the devastation that he had in his life in terms of his social and acculturation that he came up in, Allah blessed him and protected him and protected his original nature. So it was not impressed upon in a negative way. And he was the perfect vessel to receive the Quran. And this is very important once again. See, because we are, in following the Prophet and following the Messenger, we are to be reflecting the Quran. We should be a reflection of the Quran. And that is in accord with the revelation, is in accord with the original nature of the human being. That is our authentic self. That is our true self. So I just wanted to say that so that we make that distinction. Yes, we have a socialized self and acculturated self, but the authentic self is the self that Allah has created the human being to be. And so we want to use the Quran to, as a barometer or as a gauge, to say, I need to work on myself a little bit more, because I'm not there. I'm still working on a work in progress. So whether you are married or not married, or aspiring to get married, this should be an ongoing work of progress in our lives. I think I said enough there, and so, Karan, I'll give it back to you as to where we want to pick up. I don't know if we have 15 or 16 there. And we do ask that you that are listening in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab to bring an open mind, an open heart, but bring your pen and pad, because I believe that something is going to be said. It's going to be noteworthy. You can jot it down. And Karan and I do encourage you to press 1. You know, if you have a question or comment, this is your learning lab. And those of you who are absorbing this information, we'd like to hear from you also, that what it is we're saying is resonating with you. Does this make good sense? And Quran and I, we invite you, if you disagree, you know, if you disagree, press 1 and say, I disagree with you, Quran, Mark Shaheed. I see it a different way. We welcome that also. And if you want to remain anonymous, want to ask a question in that regard, feel free to do so. If you're a Muslim, then at least send the greetings, because Allah says we should do that. But if you want to remain anonymous and you don't want nobody to know who you are or where you're calling from, and that make you feel more comfortable, then please, by all means, do that. Back to you, Quran Shakir. Where are we and where are we trying to go? And I do say this, that where we at, we got this week, and we got 2 more weeks afterwards. So the objective is to complete these 25 do's and don'ts just before the beginning of Ramadan. That's our objective, inshallah. Back to you, Karan.
All right, thank you. And also great comments. I really like what you shared, and I hope our audience did too. We do have someone who has pressed 1, so we'll go there, and then we'll start with number 16. Of the 25 okay. Do's and don'ts. We're going to go to our listening audience, to 323-369. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air. 323-369. You're on the air.
Unmute. You might be muted. Unmute yourself. You are live with us here on Courtship and Marriage. You have a question or comment?
I don't think you said 323.
I think I heard a voice. Go ahead and state yourself again. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Malik. I'm calling from Los Angeles. Did you say 323-369? Because if I pressed
did.
One, it was by accident.
Yeah, I'm
oh, okay. No problem, Brother Malik. Thank you for joining us today, and we will continue our discussion. And you can push 1 to come out if you don't have a question or a comment right now. And when you're ready, just push 1 again, and we will be ready for you.
Okay, Sukai.
Okay. So this week we are looking at an alhamdulillah that we even have these 25 do's and don'ts. It's really wonderful for those who are in the courtship process. So number 16 is one I love because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran to speak a word straight to the mark. Allah tells us to speak the truth. And so in that, number 16 is be honest. So one of the things that we talk about in this being honest is that it's very important to be honest from the beginning. You don't have to share your whole life with the person during the beginning stages, but be honest about who you are and what you want in life. To do that, you have to already outline something for yourself. And we've talked earlier about the importance of asking yourself some important questions about who you are, your experiences, your upbringing, and those things that have made you who you are, such that you are able to clearly identify your values and your needs and your wants, and that's who you are. And that's who you can communicate to that person as being person who has had this kind of experience, and therefore I want this kind of life for myself. And it cannot always just be, I just want to be back in and I want to be doing really good. That's very vague. Be specific with who you are and what you need and want. And if a person is worthy of your time, they will appreciate the expectations that you have for yourself and for your potential partner. So we don't want you to get into this mode of pretending to be all you think your partner wants you to be. That's a recipe for disaster. And as the Quran tells us, speak a word straight to the mark. Be honest. Be upfront. And be who you are. Be your authentic self, as we talked about earlier. But honesty in everything that you do as you communicate who you are and what you need in a mate and as a mate. All right, Mark, I'm going to toss it back to you and to our listening audience. Again, we invite you, if you have questions, if you have comments, we're going to try to get through as many of these as we can, the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. So we invite your comments and your questions so we can have clarity as we get through these. So, Mark, I'm turning it back over to you.
Yes, alhamdulillah, just some excellent commentary you just made on honesty, Quran, Shakir. You know, we've heard that old saying, honesty is the best policy. It should always be the policy of ours to be honest, and this Quran already has conveyed to us, Allah tells us to speak a word directly to the right in terms of being truthful and honest. I want to say that, you know, as we have as the foundation here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for those who are Muslims and those who are not Muslim, he was an excellent example. Allah speaks in the Quran in regards to his uswa. Imam Muhammad spoke about the uswa being more important of, in terms of focus on the uswa more so than the sunnah. The uswa actually is exemplary of the character of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That simply means the prayers and peace be upon him. There's only two prophets in the Quran that Allah speaks about the uswa. So to get you involved in this discussion, I'm going to put that out there for our radio listening audience. Who was the other prophet in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, spoke about as having an excellent uswa? So Prophet Muhammad was one in terms of having that excellent character. Now, what does this have to do with honesty? Okay, so we want to make some connections here. One of the things that before Prophet Muhammad became the prophet, the people actually refer to him as As-Siddiq and El-Amin. As-Siddiq being that they saw him as the truthful. You know, you can't be honest if you're a liar. So he was the truthful. And As-Siddiq as the trustworthy. Well, you can't be trustworthy if you're dishonest. So honesty embodies being truthful, being trustworthy, being a person of integrity, being a person that is reliable, responsible, accountable. All of those things I see in terms of honesty. In other words, if when you give your word is bond. You know, it's important for you to keep your word. And the only way to don't keep your word is that it's beyond your control. Whereas we should never say tomorrow, as Allah says, and without what we will do without saying inshallah, meaning that Allah's will prevails over our will. But being honest is very important. So how does it relate in terms of courtship? You know, in the communication, and we're going to eventually the next document that will be undertaken is the premarital questionnaire. And this is a very, very questionnaire. But the requirement, the prerequisites, is honesty and integrity on both persons' part to actually get to know each other. Questions will be asked, and you have to honestly answer those questions. This is how one gets to know you. Of course, you can make your mouth say anything, as my uncle used to say, you can fix your mouth to say anything, even that which is not true. But what generally happens is that the truth always is going to prevail, and eventually it's going to come out. So honesty is the best policy. And as Quran so eloquently articulated, you know, sometimes we want to present ourselves in a way that would be impressive, but we're being dishonest. That's not who we are. That might be who we're striving to be, but that's not who we are. We haven't arrived there yet. We're still a work in progress. So when we assess ourselves, you know, if you are unmarried and you have aspirations to be married, or you divorced and you're looking to find a spouse again to be remarried, you have to do a self-assessment on yourself. And, of course, we're still talking about honesty. So being honest with yourself is the first order of business. If when you can be honest with yourself, you'll find it to be a lot easier to be honest with other people, and especially a person that you have aspirations in terms of actually becoming a unit with. This is very, very important. Now, a person that's have difficulty in being honest with themselves. They think they're all that and then something more, but not really truthfully and honestly assessing themselves. This is why it's so very important to always remember that the foundation for all relationships is your relationship with your Lord and Creator. Because if and when you do that, that helps to shape the type of person that you are, the character that you have, that you will possess. And you don't ever have to try to remember, what did I say? Because if you tell the truth, you'll continuously tell the truth. But if you lie, now you have to try to remember, what did you say? And how did you say that? You see, this is becomes a litmus test in terms of being an honest person, a person of integrity, to be truthful, so that even in the courtship phase, And then if it moves to from courtship to partnership, that person can always say, my spouse was always honest. Whatever they said, they was telling the truth. And that's what it is that you want. You want that. You want that to be the type of belief that you have in your partner, that they won't lie. Even, you know, we have to speak the truth, even if it's against ourselves. This is something else that a lot puts in the grind. You know? So you want to be just to that person. There's questions that we need to answer, and there's questions that needs to be asked. And so if you have two people this honest, then you won't get to know who that person really is. This is very important. So honesty is the best policy. And therefore, you can see, remember that we're talking about courtship, so it's in court. As Karan liked to say, and I love what she says, fact-finding here. So if you're giving false information and you're consciously giving false information, yes, that, or you're trying to misinform, then you're not being honest, you know, in that regard. See, so we want to be honest because that's who I am. That's where I'm at. If it's a shortcoming, I am working on that shortcoming. I'm coming up a little short there. Okay, I know that's something I got to work on. Okay, well, that person may still very well accept you in that regard because you was honest about that. And then they perhaps will have a shortcoming too. They're coming up short on something. See, because you don't and you won't find Mr. or Mrs. Perfect. So just remember that. So, you know, you want to express who you are, where you are. But also, by the same token, you also want to express what I like to become and what I'm working on becoming. But the honesty is where you are, and the first person you have to be honest with is yourself. And if you can do that, you'll find it a lot easier to be honest with other people. I think I said enough there, Karan, and turn it back to you.
Yeah, that was great information. And I just want to reiterate, in this courtship process, like we said, you are on a fact-finding mission. And after you have done that self-assessment to determine what you need and what you want in a person, you get the facts. And it doesn't always mean, oh, this person has this flaw, as you said, and I'm not going to do it. It also doesn't mean, you know, probably have it if you're going to try to change them. But really what you want to do is to take the fact of who they are and weigh what is your capacity to deal with it. Do you have the capacity to deal with someone who lies all the time or someone who only makes 2 of their 5 prayers? You know, do you have that capacity? Not trying to change them, but to understand that that is who they are. Or someone who's a spendthrift or someone who just spends all their money. So you have to look at these different categories. And as Mark said, we're going to talk about those things. But when we're looking, getting the facts to determine, can I live with this? If they never change it, can I live with this? You pray for some things to evolve and grow and groom, but you don't try to change it. That's very important for us to acknowledge and know, because that's where a lot of challenges come in relationships when people say, yeah, I knew that he was like that or she was like that, but I just thought they would get better. No, you accept them for who they are, where they are. That is a big step, just like you want someone to accept you for who you are and where you are. All right.
You know, Karan, I'm so glad that you said that, because that's a big misnomer sometimes. You might like a lot of things about that person, even in the courtship, but it may be a couple of things that really, really kind of bother you. But you come to the conclusion that I can change that person. That's a big misnomer. No, I'm going to give you an acronym. Word change for those, it's a gold nugget, so if you can use it, put it in your purse or put it in your pocket, you may have to use it. Choose to have a new growth experience. That first letter in the word change is choose, which meaning that it is a choice. It's a choice to have a new growth experience. So in other words, change is an inside job. This is not Mark Shahi saying. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in the Quran when he tells us that he will never change the condition of a people. And don't look at it just as collectively. Look at it individually. We'll never change the condition of a person until they first change something within themselves. Sometimes it's translated or it's expressed as the heart or the soul or in the soul. But we know that's internal. That's internal. So change is an inside job. And it's only going to be a change for permanence if it's done from the inside, not from the outside in, the inside out, you see. But Allah, why choose? Where is the choice? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us free will to choose, you see. So if a person can see, this is why your relationship with your Lord and Creator is very important. We're coming up on Ramadan. So, you know, Allah says fasting is for me. You see, so we have to make that choice and choose to be obedient. This is part of the original nature. Part of the original nature is that of servitude. So our relationship with our Lord and Creator is so very, very important. You know, so the changes that we make, it will have to be the choice of ours. We have to choose to. In terms of our niya, our intention, which it was symbolic of our intention, our motivation, our desire, and also in terms of how the soul and the mind actually are affected by us choosing to make a change for the better in our life. We can't go into a relationship like the Quran so eloquently articulated, thinking that once I get him, well, once I get her, I'm going to be able to influence them to change. Don't go in with that. Don't go in with that mindset. It's like her aunt say, okay, what you see is make what you're going to get, and you will continue to get. Now you have to ask the question to yourself, will I and can I tolerate that? Will I accept that? If that's the control that it is that you have in making a decision. But you know that. It's not something hidden, but don't go in saying, well, that's only one or two things there, and I'm going to change that. Because you may be disappointed, you may become aggravated, irritated, frustrated, and all those other aids, and then you'll be like, oh, no, this ain't going to work. But don't go in with that misconception. That's very important what you said, Karan. You know, I just had to say something in regards to that. So choose to have a new growth experience. So a person will make a change, that means they have made a choice to have a new growth experience. Yeah, where, however you've been going for many, many years, that's how you're growing. You're growing. You'd be growing the right way, you'd be growing or going and growing the wrong way. But if, in fact, that you acknowledge that and you convey that, that person have to accept that. And you may want to add that I'm working on trying to improve that. That would be very encouraging to hear in the courtship phase and actually be able to see, you know, because good relations require good communication and observation. So, you know, you might want to, you know, say, okay, well, this is the issue for me, but I'm working on that. Now, you're hearing that person say, I am working on that. Now, okay, you heard them say that. So hearing is first in the Quran and then seeing. So now you want to be able to absorb. Yeah, you know, they really are working on that. And you can see some improvement. Much more can be said about that, but that's a very important point. And I don't want to belabor it, but don't go in thinking that you will change somebody else. That's an inside job. And Allah doesn't even say he will change until it's a prerequisite for Allah to help in facilitating that change only if you, you understand, change something within yourself first. Mm-hmm. I'll stop there.
Good point. And that's a part of being honest, too, being honest with yourself. All right, so number 17, for those who are keeping track and keeping notes, number 17, I love this one, too. It is don't zone out. Now, let me tell you what we mean by don't zone out. Don't zone out is a big one. We talked about this weeks ago when Imam Fahim Shuaib was on, and that is listen carefully when the person you are interested in is telling you about their life. Don't just sit there all gooey-eyed and, oh, and you're just listening to the surface. Listen carefully. By listening carefully, you can't find out about their personality and their likes, and you can find out about their personality, their likes, their dislikes, their emotional balance, because you're going to hear how they dealt with certain things in their life. You can say, oh, okay, they jumped real quick on that one. They might be impulsive. You can start to make some deductive reasoning from that. And so what you really hear when you're listening carefully is what that person is saying, so you can determine if they are the right match for you and your personality, your upbringing, your experiences. And when I say I make a connection with what Imam Fahim Shuaib said, he talked about this book, Daniel Goleman, written by Daniel Goleman, called Emotional Intelligence. And what you're doing is, you know, you listen to more than the words that are being spoken. And so you listen to the experiences, you listen to the body language and the facial expressions and the tones in which they are communicating, and you can get a lot for them. Most importantly here in the not zoning out part, zoning out means going somewhere else and not really hearing what they're saying to you. And you know how sometimes we just dismiss it and then we see all the signs later? Pay attention. Stay in the moment. Hear what's being said. But try not to interrupt or prepare questions and interject too much. Just listen. Let them talk. And sometimes that's hard for us to do, is to let somebody talk and talk and talk, and we just sit and listen. Because what you're really doing, like you at a school or an interview, take note. Take note of what they're saying. And let the conversation just be itself. Show that you are interested and they have your undivided attention. So, yes, you'll nod and you'll say, uh-huh, I see. You don't have to agree with what they're saying, but you can say, I understand. Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, I get it. So you're saying if you need to repeat something to clarify something, do. But pay close attention. Don't zone out and go to la-la land and get stuck on, oh, They are a scientist. Wow. You stuck on that scientist part, but you didn't hear the journey to get to be a scientist. You need to hear everything they're talking about.
I say alhamdulillah to that, because I was just kind of smiling while you were speaking, because, you know, there can be something that be so fascinating, so remarkable that you find out about somebody that can and will be your only focus. You know, you talked about being attentive and listening. Once again, I have to bring up the five styles of listening. And so we have said in previous learning labs, I know in the sister learning lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and I have said it here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that the highest form of listening is called empathic listening. You should want to make note of that, empathic listening. And empathic listening is that type of listening that Karan is speaking about, in terms of being, I would say, in tune, being mm-hmm. in tune with that person. And as she said, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to agree with everything they're saying, but most certainly you are really truly listening to them. Matter of fact, a very simplistic definition for listening, it is the art of perceiving all that is being communicated. Listening is really an art. of perceiving all that's being communicated. But if, in fact, what Fran's saying, if you zone out, I guarantee you're gonna miss a lot because of the focus that it is that you have. You may be physically present, but you are mentally, and you may be emotionally absent. I'm going to say it again. You may be physically present, but mentally and emotionally, you're absent because you're not in tune. You don't understand what it is that they're saying, what they're conveying, and you don't even know, even in the communication, what they're really feeling. You know, so empathic listening includes both of those things, which is very, very important. Even in the courtship, and even just as much or more, it becomes a partnership, the sacred institution of marriage. You know, you want to really be, you know, the beautiful point of having that type of relationship is when two people are really in tune with each other. I've heard couples that have been married for a long period of time, maybe, Karan, you've actually heard this too. They are so in tune with each other, they don't even have to, they could be out somewhere and they could just kind of look a certain way. And they say, oh, okay, sweetheart, you ready to go, right? Yeah, I'm ready to go. But they didn't even speak. It was just body language, you know. I'm just, you know, just saying, you know, now that's a maturation process, obviously. But it gets with, you know, in terms of being in tune with each other, getting to really know each other. And you'll be able to read each other, you know, and especially in communication. It don't necessarily mean that I agree with everything that you say. No, but I understand where you're coming from, and I understand how you feel about that. And I think it's important sometimes, and especially early on in the relationship, to reiterate what it is that you understand and be able to articulate this is how you're feeling about it, and I do understand that's how you feel about it, okay? So once you validate to that person that you really truly have listened to them, you're not zoned out, you're not, your mind is not somewhere else, or just focus on something else. And actually, that's not such a good thing. It's not like you, ignoring is the most disrespectful thing. Oftentimes, when people are ignoring, they're doing it intentionally. It's not unintentional, but zoning out is very unintentional, but still the results are still the same. They're not really truly listening to you because their focus is somewhere else. So you want to be there not only physically, but you want to be there mentally, and you want to be there emotionally with that person because this is the person that, God willing, inshallah, God willing, that you're going to be with. And there's going to be times when they have something very, very important to convey to you or vice versa. And you want them to receive all it is that they're giving and everything to be in tune with them. So very important. I'll stop there. But zone out, you know, be conscious of that. And give your undivided attention. If you can't do it right then if you need a little time, and always try to select the best time to talk. You know, that's, it goes back to Quran, to just relating to a person, you know, they've had a stressful day, and maybe the zoning out is, I'm just thinking about my day. Now here she comes, and she wants to talk about this. Or vice versa, you know. Here he comes, and he wants to talk about this, and I've just had a stressful day. I want to really listen to anybody else's situation or problem because, boy, did I have one heck of a day. Okay, so you get my drift. I don't need to say any more. I stopped there.
Yeah, two things came to my mind when we were talking about this zoning out part. of courtship, and one was, I remember in my courtship days, I was talking to a brother who I gave these scenarios when I would talk to them because I'm talking on the phone. And my scenario was I walked through my home. I gave a visual. I said, when you come into my house, you're going to see pictures hanging on my wall. It's going to be pictures of my family. It's going to be pictures with positive sayings on it. It's going to be pictures from the Quran. I'm just naming all these different kinds of pictures you will find on my wall. And then I said to each, in each case, I said, what would you say if you came into my home and saw these things in my home? And one of the brothers said to me, he said, oh, I would immediately make you take the pictures of people off the wall. That was enough for me. That was enough for me. I'm listening like, okay.
Please say that again, exactly his words, because I thought I heard the word make you.
Yes, I'm going to make you take. So that word make you was a red flag for me. You know, that was one thing. But also the message that I got was, okay, this is a person who may not be aligned with my value system, because I find it okay to have pictures of my family on the wall. Whereas other people, there are people who believe you shouldn't have any faces hanging, and that is fine. But that was my way of determining, okay, that's for me. Now I know. And so, you know, those are the kinds of things you have to be aware of. Another thing that came to my mind was this sister who was talking to this brother, and she was so infatuated with the fact that she was an orphan. She grew up an orphan, and he grew up an orphan. So she thought, oh, my goodness, we are so aligned because we both grew up orphans. But I said to her, you need to listen to his story more so that you can understand what that being an orphan did to him. And hear that part of it, too, before you make your decision to marry just because you all have similar birth dates and you grew up an orphan. That's not enough. So I just want us to be really aware when we're listening to listen all the way. And don't put ourselves in situations that we're making, we're jumping before we really understand what we're jumping into. So I think that is important for us to know.
So in other words... In other words, you're giving advice, look before you leap.
Absolutely. That's right. It's true. And that goes with the listening. Just don't zone out where you don't see everything. So just a reminder to you, our listening audience, if you're listening online, you can join us in the studio and be a part of this conversation. You may have questions you want to ask or comments you want to make. Join us in the studio by dialing 714-816-4673. And if you are in the studio, we do invite your comments and your questions to what we've already shared thus far. We will be getting to number 18 in just a moment. But if you want to comment on 16 and 17, feel free. Just press 1 on your phone and we'll bring you into the conversation. So we're
Karan, I want to just say real quickly, I still have that question out there to our very astute radio listening audience. Who was the other prophet in the Quran? Spoke about their uswa. And just to give you a hint, uswa means excellent character. There was one other prophet. So I like to hear from our radio listening audience. So when we're talking about your authentic self, we can relate that to those two prophets. So we know one. Who was the other? So you can press 1 and you can answer that question or any other question or comment you'd like to make.
Yeah, that's a great question. All right, and since no one has pressed 1 yet, I see you out there, folks. So if you want to, please join us, press 1. All right, number 18. And I like this one, too, because I think it goes with what you just said, Mark, and that is, do be aware of time. You know, sometimes we get so caught up, and I've heard people, I've been that person, you know, where we get so wrapped up in our conversations that we're talking all night long. So, no, you hang up. No, you hang up. And we do all of that, and we fall asleep on the phone and all that stuff. But really, you want to be aware of time because it's easy to get caught up in the excitement of something new and allow yourself to get carried away. But if you are finding yourself talking into the late hours of the night and you're missing classes and going to work late or find yourself just not really where you need to be with time, conscious of what you're doing and doing the things you need to do, then you may need to pull back the reins and collect yourself. One of the reasons you want to do that is you want to make sure that you don't allow yourself to get too relaxed with each other, where your conversations become inappropriate. And so you want to stay focused on those questions that you're asking and not getting so comfortable that, you know, you're drifting into other conversations. This can happen even without direct contact. So you could be on the phone and all of that. So what you want to do is condition yourself so that you're not flirting and you're not doing sexual conversations via text or email or phone. Or even if you're in person, you want to keep it Islamic. You want to keep it halal in what you're doing. And sometimes when you're not aware of time and you're spending too much time, then you're trying to fill that time with others that may not be appropriate for you. So you want to make sure that you do what you need to do. Stay focused on where you're headed and be aware of time. Also, scaling back can make you more conscious of how you use your time and how productive your conversations are. You'll organize your thoughts more, and you'll ask the right questions in the time frame that you have, as opposed to talking so freely that you head for those troubled waters. So you just control that conversation with those conversations. And sometimes you just feel like, well, I'm just being cold with it. But you don't have to be cold and rigid with it. But you should be really careful with the time that you spend in having your conversation.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. No, it's excellent advice, Quran. And, you know, as you were actually speaking, be conscious of your time. And the way you're describing that, even in the courtship phase, it has to be quality time, okay? So what do you mean by that? Okay, so what is the objective? Never lose the objective in terms of courtship. It's actually getting to know each other. So you want that time to be spent as quality time. Quality time is always going to produce something that is good for you and also for the prospective person. As we said earlier, we do have what we call a premarital questionnaire. So the time that you spend, whether it's local or it's not local, and of course, generally speaking, you perhaps will spend a little bit more time if the person that is that you're speaking with is not local. You don't have the luxury of maybe community settings or maybe being able to maybe go out to dinner or something of that nature where you can actually an opportunity to see each other, but also to be able to talk to each other. And so Quran is right, because in telephone conversation, you can easily waver, you know, after you've spoken a few times and you think or feel like I really know you and vice versa, you know, that you really know me and we're cool. And as Quran gave that example of a person that has something in common, a couple of things in common, sometimes we might think, this is the one. This has got to be the one, because they are orphan. How's the orphan? They was born in the month of March, and I was born in the month of March. you know, this is this, and some people start talking about zodiac signs and all of these things that actually can creep into the conversation, because you're looking for commonality, but you want it to be a reality in terms of those most important things that you have in common. What do you mean, Mark Shahid? Simply, if in fact that you are a community worker, you're an activist in your community, you're active in the community, meaning that you're working in the community, you're working to make a difference in your community. This may be something that it is that you should be actually looking for and all. And that could be a conversation in that regard. But the real deal is in the courtship. is to get to know that person. This is why the premarital questionnaire would be an effective tool to use. And we do recommend that you ask yourself those questions first and foremost, and that you be honest with yourself, a person of honesty and integrity, and answer those questions. And if you find somebody that you have an interest in and they likewise have a mutual interest in you, they should take that premarital questionnaire and ask themselves those questions and be honest and answer those questions. And then you two, when you have time to actually talk to each other, and if it's by way of phone or what, or even in person, this would become the conversation, the time that you will use. I call quality time. It's quality in that I'm getting to know more about her. It's quality that I'm getting to know more about him in that regard. So that would be quality time. And even in the True Love recipe, when we come to Q, I have quiet time. What the quiet time, quality time, more so in the courtship phase and getting to know that person getting to know you. So that kind of feels the thing. And you'd be surprised that even those questions may lead to other questions, but the premarital questionnaire becomes a guideline for the type of time that you should spend. Now, remember, we said in courtship, it's about expression. In dating, it's about impression. So we want the expression, and you can't get more of an expression than interrogation sometimes and asking questions. I'll stop there, Karan. I'm enjoying this.
Alhamdulillah. And to our listening audience, if you are enjoying it, we want to hear from you. Let us know that this is resonating with you. You love what you're hearing or you don't. You disagree or you agree. We would love
That's
to
right.
push one on and come on into the conversation with us, because this is valued information. Sometimes we don't get this when we need it and we're into a relationship and we say, I wish I'd known that. So I do invite you, if you have some friends who are not married and they're trying to figure out what they need to do, invite them to join us on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, because it is a learning lab and we're learning together. So we're sharing yeah. these valuable tools that we have gained and learned and acquired through the blessing of Allah. And so it's just actually a sharing for all of us as we grow and learn. So if you are in the studio and you want to make a comment, push one. If you're online and you want to join us here in the studio, like I said, dial 714-816-4673, and we will bring you into the conversation. We are on the 25 Do's and Don'ts of Islamic Courtship. We just did 16, 17, and 18, and now we are on number 19. All right, are you ready? Number 19.
Oh, yes.
Don't convince yourself. Ooh. Don't convince, did you hear me? Don't convince yourself of something that isn't there. How many times have we done that? Most people want to be in a relationship and are the happiest when they're a couple with someone else, so it's perfectly normal to feel eager to find the one and start this exciting chapter of your life. But be for real. You need to really look at who they are and if they are aligned truly. If you feel like you are making more exceptions for things that you normally wouldn't be happy with, then perhaps your eagerness to get married is clouding your good judgment. If you address them and still don't find any conclusions, then it's time to move on. Don't try to make something what it isn't. Round ball into a square peg. No, move on. Don't try to make it what it isn't. Furthermore, forcing something for fear of not having, oh, my God, I'm never going to get married. I'm 31, I'm 32, I'm 45, I'm 60. I'm never going to get anybody. Don't worry about that. The one you're seeking is seeking you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that his promise is true, that what's meant for you will not pass you by. And
yes.
So if this is not meant for you, then mashallah, in the very first of these things that we told you to do in the 25 do's and don'ts was make istikhara. And when you make istikhara, Allah is going to guide your actions. So you don't have to force the situation. thinking, oh, my God, I'm never going to have this, that is really a sign that you are weak in faith. And so in our religion, marriage is an important practice in our religion. So it is sacred, and you don't want to jump just because of your fear. You really want to align yourself with someone who can be sacred with you. And Allah has given us this opportunity, and so you have to exercise patience until Allah determines the right time and sends you that quote-unquote right person. Masha Allah, in all of that, when we have that patience, Allah is there for us. You know, that's one of the signs of the righteous. If you look at Surah 3, you know, I think it's Ayah 15 where somebody asks, well, who are your righteous people, Allah? And then in 16 and 17, Allah defines them in those ayahs. But one of the most important things he does in that definition is, my people are patient. That's what Allah says. His people are patient. So you have to be patient. You have to be, you know, really trusting of Allah in this process that he's giving you. So don't try to force the situation and make something what it is not. Don't try to make someone good for you when they really are not.
This is alhamdulillah, you know, this is excellent information that you're giving, Quran, and I concur 100% with all it is that you said. And it's so very, very important in terms of the anxiety that oftentimes occurs maybe on one or both parts in the relationship, especially if in fact that you haven't been interested in someone in a long time, you've been unmarried for a period of years and maybe vice versa, or just be one and that person is you, and the anxiety, you know, it's like you say, don't spill the beans too early. The anxiety is to convince yourself, because one of the things when you're convincing yourself psychologically, you want to be married so bad. What happens is that you will make the mistake of overlooking and looking over what it is that you should be looking at. I'm going to say it again. One of the things that happens is that you'll make the mistake of overlooking, or turn it around, looking over some of the things you should be looking at. And so, therefore, you will just convince yourself, well, they have this and they have that, and they really like me, and maybe they even say that they love you. Well, let me say this, is that I learned years ago that the sacred institution of marriage is the womb and where love actually grows, you know, and you can only, it begins to grow and to develop there. And how do you know that? Because Allah actually tells us that in Surah Harum of the Quran, when he says, among his signs is this, that he has made mates for you from among yourselves of like nature, that you may be able to dwell together in tranquility, and that he, Allah, will put love and mercy between your hearts. Verily, in that are signs for those who reflect. So it's so much that's in there, you see. So with the right mate, Allah already has said that he will help those two, providing that you've chosen the right mate of like nature that you can live together. Allah will put the love and mercy. And how is he does that is because this is what it is, his institution, this is what he has established for us. And so the interaction in the marriage life between husband and wife, it helps to activate that love that you have for each other in responding to the needs of each other. and being accountable and responsible. All of that brings about the maturity, the maturation in that relationship. And it only can happen in the sacred institution of marriage. So no, you don't want to convince yourself. In the production I did, from courtship to partnership, selling the seven C's, I think it would be appropriate to mention this one. One of those C's is the word care. And in that particular workshop, I gave an acronym for the word care. And I think this, Quran would be in line with, in terms of don't convince yourself, you know, that this may be the one. The acronym for the word care, this is a gold nugget. If you can use it, put it in your pocket or put it in your purse and, try it and see if it works for you. But what should be seen is that person in the courtship actually care for you. You should see compassion. That's what the C stands for, compassion. Okay, now remember, Allah says he will put that in the heart, mercy, compassion. He will put that in the heart for the right one now. So you will see it. It's going to already be there. You know, you will see an A of care. You will see appreciation. And we can put in parenthesis value, where that person, even in the courtship, will appreciate you, will value you. And you will see those signs that they really do appreciate the type of person that you are, and they will value you. This is very important. You shouldn't be trying to get with anyone that don't value you, don't appreciate you, and vice versa. You don't value them. You don't appreciate them. What kind of relationship is that going to be? It's not going to be the one that Allah wants to want us to have, you see, because he wants to be able to maintain and sustain. So what is the R? The R obviously stands for respect. And I'm not talking about what Soul Sister Number One, Aretha Franklin, was saying, R-E-S-P-E-T, respect. And I have my own, acronym for respect. It's when a relationship evolves and it shows, as Quran spoke about a little while ago, patience. That's the P in respect. Patience and ethics. Ethics. The C stands for communication. Excellent communications. And then the T stands for thoughtfulness. Thoughtfulness. This is very important. You see, when a person actually respects you, you understand, they are very thoughtful in that regard. And sometimes we get thoughtless people, and so that's the R, in terms of respect. And remember that respect is a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. You would never have to demand respect when you give respect. You will command respect. And the first form of respect is self-respect. So if a person respects themselves, they'll respect you. And only a fool will disrespect himself, and they are trying to disrespect you. But if you respect yourself, and you should experience, and then what's the E? The E stands for evidence. Okay, remember, we're talking about worship. So it gets back to what Quran is saying. You're looking for evidence. You're looking for some proof, fact-finding, and all of that. Okay, so one of the things a judge is always looking for is evidence. So in the courtship phase, you're looking for evidence of this person really does care. And the E, you should have slash evidence slash experience. It should be experience and the courtship, and even more so, if Allah blesses to become a partnership, you should be able to experience that compassion, that appreciation, that respect. And all this becomes somewhat of parameters that can be used in terms of not just convincing yourself. Okay, so you got something that you can use to assess, this could be the person that is really for me. Are you experiencing that in this courtship? Are you overlooking that? Because the anxiety to just be married, then you have to ask yourself, what is my focus on? What is it, why is it that I really, truly want to be married? Is it in accord with God's will and plan, what marriage is to be and what it is to produce, or do I have my own thinking? Sometimes, Brian, that becomes the problem. We have our own thinking in terms of what marriage is and what it is that I really want to happen in my marriage, but it's not in accordance with God's will and plan. At least it's not the priority. So this is why the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is so very important, that we try to disseminate this information and try to give it from an Islamic perspective so we can see things a lot more clearly than what it is that we are looking at and what we are looking for. We want to be looking at what Allah wants us to look at. We want to look for what it is that Allah wants us to have in the sacred institution of marriage, as He has been the one that has established this. I'll stop
Amen.
There.
So we have a couple of callers. We have a couple of callers.
Oh, we got callers in the queue. Okay. You
yes,
might have somebody
going
to answer that question, Karan.
Okay, let's see. We're going to start
okay.
with 404-368. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Yes. I reckon take yourself off of mute. 404-468.
404. Yes. 368.
You're live. Your question or comment, please. Assalamu alaikum.
404-368.
Assalamu alaikum.
Since
the Quran, I just want you to repeat to me the you said Surah 3, Ayat what now?
I would have to double check it, but if I remember correctly, it's Surah 3, Ayat 17, where Allah asks about who His faithful servants are, and then He answers it in 16 and 17. And you can check
I
it
like
for me and let me know if that's correct or not. But I think it was in 15 that He asked, and then in 16 and 17 He answers the question.
So who are you, and where are you calling from here?
Oh, yeah, Assalamu alaikum. My name is Sister Tawanda. I'm from Decatur, Georgia. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Do
you have any other question or comment that you'd like to make, Tawanda?
Well, I didn't get on until the point, I think you mentioned something about 19. I missed the other one, so I came on at 8:07.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yeah,
okay. So I missed okay, all right.
Yes.
Thank you. Push one on your phone, and if you have another question, you can push one to come back in.
Yeah, and thank
all
you
right,
so much for calling in.
Absolutely. We're going to go to 219-779. Assalamu alaikum. And welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Well, state your name and where you're calling from. I think I know who this is.
Take yourself off of mute. You're live on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You have a question or comment that you'd like to make? Take yourself off of mute. 219. Take yourself off of mute. We can't hear you. Well, Karan,
we'll
might want
to
call them. Yeah, they may have stepped away or inadvertently pressed one. Any other callers there in the queue?
Not at this moment. There aren't.
Okay.
So we will vote on that one. And,
mm-hmm.
Somebody just pushed one. I guess they were waiting for us to finish with the others. And
mm-hmm.
that would be 650-669. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Rashid Salam, St. Louis, Missouri. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Brother Rashid Salam.
I think I want to answer the question. I think I have the right answer. It's Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim, right?
Alhamdulillah. I said, ding, ding. I didn't offer a gift or anything, but I think I will give you something out of my intellectual property for answering it correctly. Yeah, it is Prophet Ibrahim. It is Prophet Ibrahim. He was the other prophet that Allah mentions in the Quran as having an excellent uswa, excellent character. So that's very, very important, because the prophets, you know, they actually exemplify. I mean, they are human beings. You know, Abasharun Musulukum. So they are human beings. This is what Allah instructed Prophet Muhammad to say to the people, and it's in the Quran. It's revealed in the Quran. So we won't think that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, that they were more than human. This is very important, more than human. So in other words, that if they could exemplify the uswa, excellent as a model and character, that's the same possibility that we have. And then this is being your authentic self. This being the best self as Allah has created us in the best of mold. And they become the examples. They become Prophet Muhammad being the best example for all of humanity all time. So that's the authentic. So if we want to know who our authentic self is, then we get the information framework from the Quran, but then we get the example of being your authentic self in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So thank you, Rashid. You're right on point, brother. I'm telling you, I was wondering, was somebody out there? I know we got so many learned people out there that they would be able to answer that question.
One of the keys to the conversation, one of the key elements that you talk about tonight, I think it's really the most important, the ability to communicate. And you hit on all the key elements of listening, you know, being patient and caring and so forth and so on. But that communication, please, will open up the doors to understanding, because sometimes we forget that we've been traumatized. You know, so if you don't talk to someone and get to know who that person is and what they've been through, then you don't know some of the details that nothing wrong with them or what happened to them. So I just want to say that and then get that out the way. So I thank you.
Wow, thank you so much. Yes.
Thank
you so much. Because another thing, when he talks about trauma, all of us have been through trauma. The thing is to look at how do we manage that trauma. You know, how are we able to deal with it? Because some people, when they deal with trauma, their way of dealing with trauma is to ignore other people when they feel a trigger, or to shut down, or to be violent or angry. So we have to know how a person deals with the trauma in their lives. That's important to know. So very good point. And that's a part of that, listening and watching and paying attention to what they're saying beyond the words they're saying. Thank you so much.
You know, another thing, I remember years ago, and this real quickly, years ago, I ran across a saying that really struck me. It says that life is only 10% what happens to you, but it's 90% how you react or respond to it. And it actually, and it was speaking about those persons who become a victim. And so oftentimes, if we look at 10% in terms of what happens to you, but 90% how you react or respond to it, so oftentimes we carry those things that actually happen to us and become a victim. And as a word challenges, I like to use words whereas that people will be able to relate to. I think it's a valuable word, victim. And in the word victim is how you can become not a victim. When the vision inside choosing to improve the mindset or the mentality. So it's the vision inside choosing. Once again, we have the ability to choose to improve the mindset that we have in regards to our situation and circumstances. However long, you know, that we react negatively to our circumstances, that's how long we will remain a victim. You know, this is very important. However long that we react negatively to our circumstances, that will determine how long we remain a victim. But when the vision inside chooses to improve the mindset, now we have a different perspective. The only thing we can do with something that, you know, is history is to extrapolate from that. What is it that we learn from that? So that trauma, just like fear, becomes a great immobilizer, a great paralyzer, a tranquilizer, if you will, and it stops us from transformation in our life. So needless to say, the progression that we ought to have in our life, if in fact that we don't have a vision inside that's choosing to improve our mindset, our mentality, we can remain stuck for a long time. I can say more, but I think I said enough. I'll stop there.
Very good point. All right, we're going to move on to number 20. And number 20, let me just say, before I tell you about number 20, I want to say this. You know that Allah has already told us that we are assigned angels who take note of everything we say and do and even think. They make note of it, right? And those angels sometimes are protecting angels for us. They speak to us. And they'll whisper to us, and we'll hear it, and sometimes we may or may not pay attention to it. So I'm saying to us to be in touch with the assigned angels that we have, because number 20 is do trust your instincts. Those instincts, that gut feeling that you have about someone, that's your angel talking to you. So similar to the previous point, it's important to, in addition to looking out for red flags, pay close attention to how you feel with someone. When you're with them, pay attention to that. You know, don't dismiss it. If you have a nagging feeling that something isn't right, chances are you're right. So if, for example, you see patterns in someone's behavior that worry you, don't say, mashallah, it's just me being overly sensitive. No, pay attention. Don't dismiss them as paranoia or anything like that. Pay attention. Many people swear that their sixth sense or their instincts help them out of a bad situation. And some even attribute these thoughts to guidance from Allah in response to one's istikhara prayers. And it could be. So I just say your angels are with you and they're guiding and protecting you. And that generated a hand raise here. All righty then. This is Sister Tawanda, I think, here with her hand up. I'm going to go to her right now. Sister Tawanda, did we generate from you a question or a comment?
I have a comment on the intuition that Allah gives us.
Yes, ma'am.
Everybody has.
That's right.
I was born, Allah gave me a little extra. But yes, ma'am, Allah has given me a little extra. But Allah has given us all that thing. Just like my
That's
mother
right.
always told us. My mother always told us, take a tip from nature. Watch what the animals do.
Mm-hmm.
The animals, Allah gave us dominion over all the human beings. So when the animals hear something ain't right, they get going. They get moving. Allah give us something. He let us see it writing on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
We may see something in that person, like you said. And believe me, I used that thing that Allah has given me. My whole family has it. my daughter has. And I run things by her, and if she said, Ma, it's okay, go ahead. I listen to her because Allah gave us that something.
That's
but he
right.
has given it to us all, and we all should. Because in the Holy Quran says, look at the sign.
Amen.
And it's in the Holy Quran. And I was just talking to my mother, and Allah don't like bad things. He don't like bad people. It's in the Holy Quran. Everything we need in that Holy Quran. I'm a certified chef. In the Holy Quran, there's also recipes for food. There's recipes for life. It's in the Holy Quran. You go to the library and they have a reference book that you can't take out. Well, this book can go wherever you go.
Hello, Akbar.
This book can go wherever you go. This is our reference book. And believe me, I tell Sister Nigel all the time, Surah 53 is star. Everybody is a star. Everybody is a star. Allah give us the star to light up the dark. It's in everything we need is in the Holy Quran. Allah wake up. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam. That was great. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sister Tawanda. I mean, some very sharp points. Allah has given us these abilities that assist us, that Quran is referring to as angels. It should not be ignored that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said is something that makes your heart tremble. You know, that also becomes a sign, you know, for us. It, you know, sometimes referred to as just a gut feeling. People say gut feeling, you know, in regards to that. So, you know, when we're looking for Allah's guidance, Allah will always give us signs. And we should always, and that's, I think Quran mentioned that, just a little while ago, you know, many of these do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship, we had to take it back to the first one, first and foremost, that we have pure intentions, we have sincere motivations, but we also remember the Istikhara prayer, you know, where we pray that repeatedly to Allah for His guidance. There's nothing that can replace the guidance of Allah. This is what we ask for in the Al-Fatiha. Indina Sirajal Mustaqim, the fifth ayat of the first surah chapter. We are asking that, you know, this is why those seven ayats validate our prayer. And so we're asking that. And the rest of the Quran, the other 113 surahs or chapters in the Quran, it answers that request in the Al-Fatiha. This is very, very important for guidance in every aspect of our life. And so the Istikhara prayer is so very, very important because we are stating in there that you are Al-Aleem. This is an attribute of Allah. And that means that you're the all-knowing. We're not the all-knowing. We can make mistakes even in our judgment, you see. So we are seeking God's guidance for Him to reveal to us so that we're able to see with clarity, not through speculation, not through suspicion, you know, all those things. Because sometimes we can pray for something, Allah will manifest it right before us, and we'll miss the blessing. So I would say, you know, you can't tell anybody what their dua should be, but my dua is always to ask Allah for the guidance and whatever it is that I'm asking Allah for, and bless me to be able to see what it is that you have for me. Actually, I want to state this, and I'll stop. in the Quran, it was Musa. It was Musa that may do unto Allah whatever good that it is that you have for me, I will surely be grateful for that. So Musa got an opportunity to do a good deed for two women that wanted to water their sheep. But there was all men there. And, you know, they kind of stood back, you know, not being assertive and all the, and none of those men were considerate. Musa observed that. And what he did, he went and told them that he would water their sheep, and he got in there with those other men and made sure that those two women's sheep was watered. They went back. They told their father about this kind man that was considerate. And as a result of that, I'm just cutting the story short, as a result of that, he asked Musa to marry one, to choose one of his daughters to marry. So he wound up with a wife and a family, you know. So what I'm saying is that this is, and I think this is going to be one of the ones that's coming up pretty soon in terms of doing a good deed, just, you know, being seen doing a good deed and being kind and considerate to people. And sometimes you get noticed by just doing something kind, and a person, you draw that person's attention. They want to know more about you, or they see that type of characteristic in you. And Musa wound up with a wife and a family just by being kind and considerate. Just want to just say that so that we don't ever leave Allah out the picture, because Allah knows and we know not. And that's repeated all throughout the Istikhara prayer, you know, uh-huh. that we don't know and Allah knows. So always summons Allah first and foremost. I'll stop there.
All right. And we have one of our callers who has her hand raised up. I think I know who this is, but I'm going to ask her to welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air, and that would be 267-258. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear beloved of believers. Alhamdulillah. I just want to first say thank you, you and Mark, for just continuing the legacy of offering such awesome advice. Never take it for granted that we don't appreciate it, because you're actually helping to save marriages, and you're helping people make decisions that they may not go into or going into and decide not to go into through this courtship and marriage. So it is truly needed and truly appreciated. I was just reflecting as you were talking, and I was thinking about, we had a couple who got married a year ago, and, you know, and in the masjid, we always are so happy when marriages take place, but for many reasons that became known, and it's crazy, but they're getting a divorce. And so, of course, that affects the whole community. Like, what, you know, like, oh, no, you know, Allah knows best, you know. So why I'm saying this is that even in the courtship, not being able to identify some of the things that you learn about once you move in and you become in the house with that person, and you start to get to know each other through the 6 months and the 8 months and the, and then closer to the year of marriage, and then all of a sudden something happens, you know, or you find out something that you don't like about that individual, or they don't like about you. And so to me, the best thing to do at that point is, of course, communication. As the brother was saying, that is the key to everything. Using the Quran, using what the Prophet said and did, using all the good energies that can come and possibly change an ugly situation into a positive energy that can bring out the best in both individuals, because we are the vessel within the spirit. The spirit is the vessel, and the body is the vessel, the spirit is the light that comes and bring light. If you have a positive attitude about what you have done, you went into this thing with full hope and desire to make it work. And so you see something that's a little off, and your whole spirit is saying, oh, boy, what did I get myself into? And then you go to your Lord, and you go and ask Almighty God and Lord to show you what to do now, you know. And so just answer that a little bit. There's much more to it. But inshallah, I hope I've made some sense of it for you guys to be able to address it in a proper way. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right.
I
appreciate you.
As-salamu alaykum. Thank you so much. Press 1 as you go out to queue. Karan, would you like to make any commentary on that? Or do you have any other persons in the queue?
I think Fahima answered it in her question.
Well, I thought so. She answered it.
Yeah. And she did a good job.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, your answer, you know, is, you know, sometimes you can answer your own question when you provide the information. And sometimes I think sometimes, you know, you may look for a validation of your thinking, you know, so your thinking is really you know, spot on. And how it is that we really see things. And I'm going to tell you something, you know, Karan, and I know you already know this, but I'm saying to the radio listening audience too, you know, this is why Ramadan, the fast in the month of Ramadan, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran is so important, because this gives the believer opportunity to become closer. The word tatakum, the derivative of taqwa. So it's the expression in Yusuf Ali, so that you may learn self-restraint. But there's no way you can learn self-restraint without being consciously regardful of Allah. There's no way that you can learn self-restraint without being consciously regardful of Allah's word. And in Allah's word, in revelation, but also in creation, is an expression of what God's will is for us, because only Allah is the author of the Quran. Yes, I'm going to say that again. Only Allah is the author of the Quran. Now, there's many that's speaking here, but remember that Allah revealed the Quran. Revelation has the word reveal. And so it's revealing much that was concealed, you know, not only to Muhammad ibn Abdullah before becoming the prophet, but also for us and to us, because it was revealed to the prophet, but it came to all of humanity, which is so very, very important. And where there's a will, there's a way. There's a way that Allah wants us to relate to him. There's a way that Allah wants us to relate to each other in terms of marriage life, family life, community life, the world of humanity, and it's the way he wants us to relate to his creation, you see. So there's so much to be said about that, but the main thing that we need to know and understand by coming closer to him in our relationship to him as a servant. And to be the best servant, that's to be an obedient servant. So we have this opportunity that's going to be coming up on us in approximately 2 weeks, really 2 weeks from now. We may be on the verge of that Thursday, which would be March 31st, of being on the brink of the Ramadan. As all the months in the Hijrah calendar, just want to say this to our radio listening audience, they all come in the same way. But Ramadan, the ninth month of Ramadan, is special because that was the month in which the Quran was revealed. It was revealed, but it was given in portions over a period of 23 years. So the more we can become in touch with God's word of revelation, the better we're going to be in terms of even communication. We should see the best man, the best woman during the month of Ramadan. We should see the best husband, the best wife during the month of Ramadan. We should see the best mother, the best father in the month of Ramadan. We should see the best neighbor in the month of Ramadan. We should see the best community member in the month of Ramadan. And I could go on and on in regards to that. And these are going to be some of the things that we will be talking about on these learning labs in the month of Ramadan and everything. So I want to thank Sister Rahima for calling in and making those points, you know, because you can see that as we grow and develop, and just even in our speech and what it is that Allah guides us in terms of our mind and heart, what we say, it shows a maturation that has occurred in our life. And then the application of that is what it is that we want to make sure that we apply. And this year we want it to be the best. We say that every year, but that's true. We want it to be the best Ramadan. Fasting, and the theme is fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. That's been my theme for almost the last 4 years. Continue to be my theme as I broadcast here on IWBM Radio. So make sure we ingest that. Take it in. Quran, I don't think we have anybody else in the queue, do we?
No, we don't. And we're right at the top of the hour, so I didn't want to hear another of the do's and don'ts because it'll get us into a long conversation. So I did want to wrap up what we have, and in wrapping it up, I just want to say one thing about what hurt me about what Sister Rahima said, and that is that couple that married a year ago and now they are divorcing. I have this other thing that I like for us to do in our community when couples marry, treat it like, you know, a new baby in the family and do the check-in. So I don't know if it's the imam or if it is someone in the family, but someone do a check-in with that couple, like you check up a new baby. You know, that new baby gets a two-week checkup. That baby gets a one-month checkup, a three-month checkup, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, like that. But to do that with that couple, too, where you're checking in on their emotions, their ability to communicate, how they are really beginning to work that relationship. So I think if we do a little bit more of that in our communities, we may be able to help them. There are some cases where we really can't. But inshallah, if we all learn how to choose our mates carefully, inshallah, we'll be able to work with them because marriage is not easy.
Yeah.
And Allah says, you know, the things that, you know, you really need and want. He's going to make us toil and struggle for it. And that toiling and that struggling makes us stronger in it. It builds character inside of that relationship. But you have to be able to get through it. And you can get through it when you've made some good decisions with one another, and you have already discussed, you know, the things that make you work together. And it's very, very important in a relationship to have a value base, meaning, you know, something that you go to when you can't go to each other. When you're so hot you can't hear each other, you'll hear it, and usually it's the Quran. And so it will take everything from the Quran, but don't use the Quran as a weapon.
That's right.
But really as a nice tool to groom that relationship where you look for answers and solutions from the Quran, that Quran guide you. And then if our community if there's someone in those communities available to really be there, especially for our young people, because Imam Muhammad told us, help our young people get married, but to help through the process, you know, when they may not have that maturation that you just talked about. And so we have to really help them through those situations to groom that maturation in them, inshallah.
You know, Quran, I am so glad that you said that, because that's such a valuable piece of advice. And I like that analogy. It, you know, as a new birth. I see it as a new birth, like you're saying, but a new beginning. And just like anything, it has to naturally grow and to evolve. And sometimes with a little difficulty, there's still adjustments. You know, we use that word car. There's still adjustments have to be made in terms of getting to know, because you don't get an opportunity to have a test, you know, and say, okay, let's get together and just shack up for a year or two. Now we'll make a determination if, in fact, you know, that this will, can and will work. So now you're actually in the same dwelling together, and you have to adjust and make some readjustments and all. You're sharing same quarters together. And I think it is so very, very important that what you stated, the check-in, and in terms of even community concern and interest, that you want to do and be as supportive as you possibly can without being an obstruction or intrusion to the extreme, but out of love and concern. And you know, it's a fine line that's there. But when believers know, a believer know another believer, and they can tell they're genuine, their niyyah is genuine, and it's loving and it's caring. That makes a big difference, and that could make the difference in sustaining a relationship. So all of those things are valuable, valuable information and tools that we should use in terms of the preservation of this sacred institution of marriage. So thank you so much, Karan, for saying that. And we're ready at the top of the hour. And it looks like, Karan, we're really on target for next week of concluding that.
Yeah.
And this is almost exactly where I wanted us to be, because I think the following week, if we're not on the verge of sighting the new moon, inshallah, it will be the following night. And if that's the case, if it's Thursday night, then, of course, it will be the 31st that we sight the moon, and the first day of fasting would be April the 1st. And that would be on Salatul Jumu'ah Day, if that happens. We have to wait for that. And if not, inshallah, that it will be the sighting on that Friday night, and it, the first day of fasting would be that Saturday. And so what it is I'm looking at, if we complete, inshallah, next week, we're going to do something a little bit different for our radio listening audience, and hopefully, Quran, be a little bit more engaging. We want to have an open line. We want to have an open line with questions. And that only is going to be able to work if our radio listening audience will be engaging questions. Or you can just put it in a statement form to, you know, if you want to choose to do that, for Quran and myself to give some commentary on, somewhat like Rahima did tonight. Or you can remain anonymous or what, just with anything that comes to your mind that you may be inquisitive about. I think that would be an excellent time to do that in closing, you know, and it would be just right on time because, as I said earlier, always the years before on the sister station, I would always reduce courtship and marriage time down to Ramadan to 1 hour only, but it would be centered around fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. And we want to see how fasting in the month of Ramadan can have a positive effect on our marriage and also our family life. And I think that would be a good topic to have throughout the month of Ramadan in staying focused on this sacred month that will be coming up, Quran. So, Quran, if you want to take a minute or two, if you like, in terms of giving your closing remarks as we close this session down and everything, and then I would close us out. It's been a pleasure tonight. Enjoyed it immensely.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Thank you for always being here and for your wonderful insight. And thank you to our listening audience for your participation. If we didn't get to you this evening, please do email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in next week. We'll be here and be ready for you. So we thank you for being a part of our listening audience. We always, because we have brothers and sisters struggling in many lands, we ask you to pray for our struggling brothers and sisters in Ukraine, in China, in Yemen, and other lands where peace is just a prayerful desire. And if you are in search of a mate, we want to remind you that the one you're seeking is seeking you. Thank you for tuning in to the Course of the Marriage Learning Lab on IWD and Radio. If you enjoyed tonight's program, we ask you to go to our social media and make a comment about what resonated with you. Invite others to tune in with you next week when we do the final note of the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. We pray that you have benefited from our learning lab. If you did, tell a friend to join you every Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. Well, in the upcoming week, after next week, it'll be 1 hour. But next week, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We ask you to stay connected with us by liking us on Facebook, following us on Instagram. Bring It to the Lab is our handle name. And we ask you, if you have questions or comments, you can email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. Again, we thank you so very much. And, Mark, you can close us out.
Alhamdulillah. I want to say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And, Quran, as always, I'd like to thank you on national radio for the insight and wisdom that Allah has blessed you with, that you share with us each and every Thursday night, but even before the Course of Marriage Learning Lab, Allah has blessed you to share with this community immensely for many, many years, and I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you partnering with me here on the Course of Marriage Learning Lab. I also want to, you know, thank our radio listening audience for tuning in and listening in, and those who actually press 1 to call in to make a comment or ask a question, because after all, this is your learning lab, and you have to make the learning lab what it is, and the more that Quran and myself hear from you, what is resonating with you, and please use those other utilities that Quran is named, bring it to the lab at gmail.com. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear some requests that you may have on futuristic topics that you would like for us to address here on the Course of Marriage Learning Lab. Or it may be questions that you might not want to ask, you know, on air, maybe a little shyness or whatever. And we'll use discretion. If it's something that we think can benefit others, we'll just take it and bring it to the lab here on IWDM Radio so that others can benefit from that. So please use those other utilities that we have to connect with us. Also, I want to say here on IWDM Radio, we do have other programming, and so we ask that you do stay tuned to IWDM Radio each and every Friday, which is Salat to Jumu'ah Day around the world, that is, for Muslims. And so if you're immobilized or for whatever reason you can't get out and about, we do ask that you come back here on IWDM Radio with Salat to Jumu'ah with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer. He's the longtime resident Imam of Al-Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. And that Salat to Jumu'ah begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. That's each and every Friday here on IWDM Radio. And the longest-running production that we have here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People, once again with the very distinguished, esteemed resident Imam of Al-Nur Islamic Center, Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir, as he always have very intriguing guests and also very intriguing topics that he shares each and every Sunday afternoon. It is 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And next week, it will be the second in a series special here on IWDM Radio that's hosted by the very distinguished Rashid Salam and also his recurring guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. And last week, they had not only the Midwest leadership convener, but also the national convener of Imams, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, joined them in a special preparing for Ramadan and beyond, that started last Monday. It will continue for the next two Mondays. And a great conversation with the convener of Imams, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, in sighting of the new Hilal, the new moon, and many other questions in regards to Ramadan, and also what the convener of Imams is doing, and also to optimize your health, and some of the things, tips that, you know, things that you can be doing to prepare yourself for the month of Ramadan so that you will be healthy and be able to endure the fast. And also, it's an excellent production. It's a family affair. So please invite those to come out. That will be this Monday, and then it will conclude the following Monday with a massive Q&A session, anything that you want to know about the sacred institution of Ramadan. It'll be there for those to answer those questions. And that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. That's IWDM special this Monday and the following Monday, series of three. And also each and every Tuesday is the Science of Your Health and You, hosted by the very distinguished esteemed host, Rashid Salam, and his recurring guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, who is an instructor, teacher of centometry. You want to bring your notebook and pad, I guarantee you, man, they have so much information. And it's very informative information. We shouldn't be afraid of learning about the science of our health and you. So tune in. That starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Each and every Tuesday night, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. And the Sister Learning Lab, too, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaudine, who's my partner and co-host and co-facilitator and co-produce, along with yours truly, Mark Shaheed, each and every Wednesday night on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. What is correct parenting and how to reconstruct a destructive family life. And we're doing a celebrated version, and we're almost to the end of the 21 indispensable qualities of a leader. And so we ask that you do tune in, and we might be looking at having a special, special guest just before the end of Ramadan. I'll keep it a secret. Somebody that that you all have known and watched on TV for years. So inshallah, they'll be able to be present with us. As soon as I get a confirmation, I will let you know. I'll just give you a hint. He used to be a judge. How about that? Syndicated TV. But anyway, that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Here on IWDM Radio. And following that is the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I just want to just say, boy, if you missed last night, such an excellent interview with our beloved sister Naima Muhammad, who's the daughter of our beloved sister Fitra Muhammad. Oh, that was so outstanding. And we just should be proud of our young people. I know Karan is an educator, as a teacher, a mother, and all the principal and all those things. I know it just warms our heart to hear, you know, in terms of the accomplishment of young people and her latest production and everything. So we pray that Allah will continue to bless her in terms of representing this way of life in her productions as a songwriter, but also as a song artist, representing the principles and values of Al-Islam. So all this month, since we had Quran Shakir as the first one on, and it'll be Muslimas for the rest of the month. You know, I'm not deviating. So we're going to have another very esteemed sister and sister. Oh, I think you're probably going to love these sisters. And I ain't going to tell you who they are. So, I mean, you have to tune in and listen in. And if you don't, you'll miss it. You know, look what you'd be missing if you hadn't been listening. You know, so please tune in. That starts at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. As I always have very distinguished and esteemed guests at the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, and we're sending a message to the whole globe in terms of what the Muslim is all about. And so tune in for this coming Wednesday. And so it brings us back to Thursday here, and of course it's the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with the very distinguished and esteemed educator, one of our very learned and scholarly sisters, Mr. Quran Shakir, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, as we host the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab each and every Thursday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. So we're looking to wrap that up next week, and we're looking to have an open line. How about that? And so you're going to make that open line be what we intend for it to be. And so start thinking about your questions. What it is you want to ask? What it is you want to talk about? And we're going to just go with the flow, Quran, next week. I mean, not next week, the week after that, inshallah. We're going to go with the flow. We're going to do the open line and see what transpires with that. And we're looking to have a very special guest next week. We're going to keep that a secret. And so you have to tune in to see who will be the special guest facilitator. I think you might be surprised, but we'll see. So also we want last but not least, Fitra Muhammad, in terms of Study Al-Islam. They're taking a little sabbatical, a little rest, and they will be starting. I talked with Fitra the other day, and they will be starting up March 30th. And the spotlight is going to be the 99 known attributes of Allah. You notice I didn't say the 99 attributes of Allah. We can't say that there are only 99. There's 99 that's known of Allah. So we don't try to define Allah in just with numbers. We can't do that. So they will be starting up, inshallah, start March 30th, Study Al-Islam. And for those of you that's in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it'd be 10 a.m. for you throughout the month of Ramadan, and those that's in the Central Standard Time Zone, 9 a.m., and also Pacific Coast Time, it would be 7 a.m. in the morning. You don't want to miss it. Some of the most outstanding intellects have appeared on there, including Quran Shakir. I don't know if Quran is scheduled this month of Ramadan or not, but I wouldn't be surprised.
No, not this
and so
time,
be... Pardon me?
I said, no, not this time.
Oh, not this time. Okay. So, but she has been on Study of Islam several times, and she's done it always an outstanding job in terms of her presentation. And there'll be other topics that Fitra will be introducing. So it will be 1 hour. So it'll go from 10 to 11, 9 to 10 Central, and 7 to 8 Pacific Coast Time. So please tune in for that. Wow. I'm looking forward to that myself. And last but not least, don't forget about our beloved sister, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, longtime editor of the Muslim Journal, and her staff made tremendous sacrifices over the years to keep the Muslim Journal going. Please send in donations. Please take out subscriptions. If your subscription has expired, renew it if you have one. What a better time to make a gift to somebody in your family, friend, associate, a neighbor, a community member, a pioneer in the community. Everything that we do in the month of Ramadan of good, it is multiplied 10 times over, you know. So who has enough blessings in this community? I know I don't, so I'm going to be looking to do all the good I can in the month of Ramadan and advise you to do so too. So make sure that you find somebody that you can give an e-gift. What better e-gift than the Muslim Journal? Even think about your library. You can help even more people. You can just go into your local library, talk to the librarian, let them know that they have all kind of periodicals there. Let them know that you're willing to pay for the Muslim Journal to be available at your local library. Just think about that. How many people will come in and read the Muslim Journal and learn more about our way of life. So with that being said, Quran, I thank you immensely. I thank the radio listening audience for tuning in, because without you, there couldn't and wouldn't be IWDM Radio, and it wouldn't be these productions that we have to offer without you. Thank you so much, and we look forward to you tuning in next time. And so until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Salamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.